If you like what you hear and want to support the show, the easiest free way to do it is to follow the podcast and leave a rating and review. Seriously, 30 seconds from you helps keep this show going strong. I appreciate you.
The end game is to win. I like winning.
How do you define that in Iran?
Well, let's define it in Venezuela. Let's define it with al-Baghdadi. He was wiped out. Let's define it with Soleimani. And let's define it in Iran, where he wiped out their Iran nuclear threat in a period of about 15 minutes once the B-2s got there.
I like how he tries to keep it, like, vague, and also he's trying to be, what's the word I'm looking for? He's trying to be vague and kind of like not kid glove it, classy in a way, I guess. Yeah. I don't have a better word for
it. He's trying to be dangerous too.
Well, but he's trying to not give away the cards or show the cards. And then he's also simultaneously trying to, you know, kind of get the point across without like totally trying to get the point across. And this guy's like, what does that mean? They mean you're going to go kick him in the jimmies. What's that mean, President Mr. Trump? Well, so I like POTUS's response. Well, you're just not going to like it. You're just not going to like it. So I learned in a family, I came from a big family, and whenever you would get in trouble, you know, like my mother, well, grandmother never threatened me because I was her favorite out of all of us. I was the perfect angel baby child. And we all know this is true. When you're disagreeing with me, you're disagreeing with a happy little princess. Anyway, so everybody who comes from like big families, you know, knows this. You got like the one disciplinarian in the family, right? And whenever you would misbehave, they're like, yeah, you don't want to know what's going to happen. Try it and see. That's always scary, isn't it? Try it and see. Maybe I don't want to. Maybe now I'm going to kind of like change my mind a little bit on trying it and see it and seeing what happens. Maybe I don't want to see so much, because it's always hardcore. Whatever happens, it's always going to be probably worse than what they would tell you. It's that anticipation. But with Trump, you know, he's damned if he does. He's damned if he doesn't. You know, it doesn't matter what he does or what he says. The press is going to attack him for it. And you also don't want to give Iran more of a heads up. You don't want to telegraph your moves to your opponent. And that's all there is to it. You don't want to telegraph your moves to your opponent. And also, you kind of want to just let them be scared and let them think, oh my gosh, we don't know what's coming. This guy's crazy. I've always told you guys, I love the idea of having kind of a crazy president. Somebody who you think, golly, I hope he's crazy enough to press that button. He's crazy enough to do this. That's what you think. And so I liked that soundbite because I was reading about that. I just pulled up the story. I was reading about this morning, and that he was showed the video and was told they're going to start hanging everybody. And he's like, yeah, let's, you know, and he gets upset about it. He's like, yeah, let's. And that's true. There are thousands and thousands of murdered Iranians. Someone said, don't call them Iranians anymore. They're Persians. Well, they are Persian. I mean, whether or not they want to continue with that name of the country remains to be seen. But it is the blackout, the media blackout, the power blackout that they have over there is a pretty significant thing. And it's really stymieing any effort to get out, obviously, as you guys are aware of this. This is what everybody went through with the Green Revolution back under Obama Biden. And when all that happened, I went back and I was looking at anything Obama Biden may have said to indicate the, you know, support of the protesters. They hardly said a thing. It was a, well, you know, we hope they respect the voice of the protesters kind of nonsense. And then the press got as close as they could without crossing the Rubicon and being excommunicado from all of the cocktail parties in D.C. They got as close as they could to criticizing him for his, well, perceived by the Iranians as well as everybody else, kind of turning his back. He threw this red line down, and then that was it. Just left. That was it. Never actually enforced it. Trump never really, they keep trying to bring up this red line with Trump. And I have to ask, whose red line is it? Because aren't they trying to subscribe? Can't correct me if I'm wrong. Because it feels like they're trying to subscribe. Obama's red line to Trump.
Oh.
Isn't that, that's what I kind of get the impression of.
Yeah.
Because he's like, Trump had said, the closest I could find was, he says that, you know, Iran is starting to cross some lines. I mean, Barack Obama was the one who specifically was like, you know, this is the line in the sand and all of this stuff.
And what did he do about
it? Well, nothing. Yeah. Nothing. So I went back and I was looking at this, and Trump is being cautioned to not make the same mistake that Obama did. And there's a couple of pieces. There was one in the New York Post. There's several others. You know, make sure you enforce your red line. Now, I think to all parties, I think Trump is actually doing a pretty good job of this. I mean, for crying out loud, we had some collaborative precision strikes in Iran that were quite successful. But the whole thing that I feel like some of these critiques miss, and I don't think that there has been so far, I don't think that POTUS has made a mistake. Wall Street Journal, too. Wall Street Journal said, don't repeat Obama's mistake in Iran, talking about drawing a red line and then no consequences when Syria crossed it. I feel like Trump has been very clear, but he's never done an either or thing. Obama always held out the carrot of coming to the table and negotiating for that Iranian deal. And then they, even when all of that was happening and when they were shooting protesters in the streets and everything else, Obama, Biden, it still was part of their policy to continue with these secret negotiations with Iran. So I don't even think that it was a mistake from Obama. I think it was just pure duplicity. And with Trump, POTUS is already, again, collaborative strikes in Iran. I think that there's, you know, there isn't really any question that it's already been enforced. But I just want you to keep an eye on this, because this is a narrative that I keep seeing bubbling up that, oh, well, would Trump your red line? And the reason I think that they're using that as a way to criticize him is they want to show him as being now you have the globalists that are pivoting, and they're trying to show POTUS somehow as being weak and or ineffective, and a long line of presidents that are ineffective in the Middle East. Here's another Trump. Don't you mess up and do what Obama did. You see it bubbling up. Wall Street Journal, New York Times, Washington Post, even. Although Washington Post, bizarrely, they had like the most, they actually had defended his strikes in Iran where others had not. So the red line, I mean, that, and remember, Barack Obama had said that in 2012, the red line. He made that quote. He said that quote verbatim. So that's why everybody keeps coming back. Trump has never, if you want to have a semantics argument, Trump has never actually physically said, oh, this is our brother. But he has thrown down boundaries, and nothing different than anyone else. You're not going to continue to enrich uranium, et cetera, stop killing protesters. But he's already done collaborative strikes in Iran. So I fail to see how this is in any way comparable to Obama. Obama didn't do that. Obama sent them pallets of cash. Trump sent them a missile. I mean, there's a very big difference here. So doesn't it feel like, and again, I might have fell into Trump or to Kane's tinfoil, but I just feel like they're desperately trying to set up a narrative here.
Yes.
They're trying to very, very carefully orchestrate this. Oh, look, it's weakness. He crossed it. And not just as a way to try to divide at home, but also as a way to project weakness to the Abraham Accord nations and the nations that we have really been normalizing a lot of relations with, the Saudis, et cetera. Saudis are watching this with great interest. Iran is no friend of theirs. And Kane agrees. He's nodding enthusiastically. It's true. So just one thing, and we're going to come back to this, but one thing to just keep track of and keep an eye on, because they're very, very carefully constructing this narrative. And again, with the whole red line, that's why I say it feels as though they're trying to impose Obama's red line that he never actually enforced on Trump. They'll make Trump pay for Obama's mistakes and pretend that they're Trump's mistakes and not Obama's. Very interesting. Okay, so a couple things. I'm going to completely just turn it upside down for a moment. Now, I believe in calling balls and strikes on things of policy, correct? Always have. I'm always very consistent. One thing that I've never gotten into is the interior decorating or anything like that. I have to talk about this because there's been a lot of stuff going on. I'm a maximalist. Let me just set the stage. I am a maximalist. I am goth Liberace. That is my, if you said, Dana, what's your vibe? Goth Liberace. You would look at me like I'm nuts, but then you would be like, oh, yes, it makes sense. It makes sense. People think when people have been over to my house for the first time, they think I'm going to live in like a modern hellscape. I'm like, oh no, modernity's disgusting. Nah. So the reason I bring this up, Kane, Juan, can you guys please show the audience the photos of the Rose Garden?
Yeah, see, as a guy, and we're both guys back here, by the way. I see that and I'm like, oh,
we need to rename it to the Filigree Garden.
The Rose Garden.
The Filigree Garden. First off, way too many damn words. Can I just be honest for a minute? I don't care what Trump does. He's POTUS. He can do what he wants. But can I just say, as a maximalist, someone like me who loves the gold columns, too many damn filigrees in this photo. There's too many filigrees. You don't need that many. This is giving me a live, laugh, love vibe. It's giving me that Target aisle where everything on your kitchen countertop is labeled with what it is. Salt, pepper, utensils. It's in the bone white stoneware with the black scrawled lettering on it. First off, it looks a lot like the Beverly Hilton. Oh, no, sorry, the Beverly Hills Hotel. Beverly Hills Hotel uses a lot of the same. But there's too many words. The Rose Garden, okay. And then you have the Presidential Hall of, you know, whatever in the back. You don't need that label, too. And then the filigrees on the outside. Why are there so many filigrees? They're under the little arched windows. They're in between the windows. There's too much happening here. There is way too much happening here. Just saying. This is the only thing of recent that I have really not agreed with the administration on. And where are the roses? I don't care if it's in a pot from Home Depot, just stick one out there. There's so many filigrees though. So many. Stop it. It's ride and live, laugh, love territory. Just roll it back a little bit. That's all I'm saying. It's just roll it back. I don't mind the picture frames, but it's so busy. It looks chaotic. We don't like chaos. You know, it's a very nice white building. You got the big, what is it, those Corinthian columns there. Are those Corinthian? Which ones are those? Several different kinds. But the filigrees, holy, wow, so many. Just reduce the number. It's all, and you don't need, the font's way too big for that wall in the back. The presidential, the font is way too big. I had to get that off my chest. We got a lot more to get into as we roll towards headlines. Oh, I'm sure I'm going to probably get more feedback over this than when I claimed candy corn was the best Halloween corn. I'm positive I'm going to get more feedback on this than anything. Are you being lied to about your retirement? I mean, the advice sounds familiar. Max out your 401k and your IRA and hand your life savings to Wall Street and just hope that the market cooperates. If that were the only way, why do so many people then risk outliving their savings? Why does the inventor of the 401k call it a monster that should be destroyed? The time has come to hear the truth. Bank on Yourself is a retirement plan alternative that provides guaranteed predictable growth and reliable retirement income. Current tax law allows you to enjoy tax-free retirement income while maintaining control and access to your money for emergencies and opportunities. No questions are asked and no government penalties apply. Bank on Yourself delivers peace of mind by showing you the minimum guaranteed value of your retirement savings before you ever need to use them. Bank on Yourself offers tax-free retirement income, guaranteed growth, and full control of your money. Visit bankonyourself.com/Dana to get your free report. That's bankonyourself.com/Dana.
Put all your gear on that you carry and then roll around on the ground. Now get up. All your gear that's on the ground, that's what you're not going to have in a fight.
Gun Talk should be in your podcast feed. Check out Gun Talk Nation.
What's it like to be blown up?
You know, if it's like C4, it's almost like a smack.
Hunting. Yeah, we talk about that too.
On your crosshairs, I like a thin crosshair.
AJ, you're really dating yourself by calling things crosshairs.
Your reticle, whatever.
Have some fun and stay informed with the Gun Talk Podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, so first up, I have a couple really standout headlines today. One has Kiefer Sutherland in it. This one's wild, though. A skeleton washed ashore on a Washington beach was identified as the former former Oregon mayor who disappeared 20 years ago. What in the world is happening up there? This is some Twin Peaks stuff. It was a skeleton that washed ashore on a beach in 2006. Finally was positively identified as a former mayor who authorities presume drowned on a fishing trip in Oregon, Clarence Edwin Asher. He had disappeared while on a fishing trip at Tillamook Bay off the coast of Oregon. They had an extensive search, could never find him. And then now the skeleton washed up and they think it's him. That's crazy. Kiefer Sutherland was arrested after an alleged altercation with a rideshare driver in Los Angeles. I like Kiefer Sutherland. He was in The Lost Boys, so he pretty much gets a pass at anything in life, as far as I'm concerned. He's going to appear in court in February. He was arrested, released later on $50,000 bond. So that's a pretty big price tag. They said that he entered the rideshare vehicle, physically assaulted the driver, made criminal threats towards the victim, and then officers arrested him on scene. So don't know the full story of it. But again, it's, you know, he's in Lost Boys, so I can't. It's Kiefer. Protect Kiefer, man. That's all I'm saying. Let's see. Oh, couple of deaths. Former Arizona AG, also Grammy-nominated John Forte. He was in the Fugees, right? He collaborated with the Fugees. They don't count as my rule of three, because I really don't know who they are without. Fair. Yeah, that doesn't count. I mean, the rule of three works very selfishly. We have a lot more in store, live from the Filigree Garden. Folks who make it possible. Speaking of guns, our friends over at Byrna Gun. Now, I carry, and I, unlike some of these other D-bags out there, I actually know what I'm doing, and I train a lot. Don't let my size fool you. She might be wee, but she's fierce. And it's always incredibly important to make sure you're protecting yourself. Although, not everybody shares the same value for your life that you do. You have all these, you know, private businesses that want to restrict you from carrying. There's a restaurant in town that we don't go to because they won't let me carry in there. And I'm not going to go. They don't have any private security or anything like that. What if you're a college kid? You live alone. You go to school. You walk to campus. You want to be able to protect yourself if you're under the age of 21. This is where a Byrna gun comes in. It's a run around all of these unconstitutional restrictions, still giving you a chance to protect yourself. But it's not a gun. I mean, they call it the Byrna gun. It shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can deter threats from up to 50 feet away. There's several different kinds. The one you need is the CL. It's the only one I'm going to tell you about because that's the one you need for this purpose. The Byrna compact launcher. It's roughly the size of an iPhone. Now, when you compare this to other, like, you know, stun guns, things like that, they got one or two rounds. The Byrna CL has a 15-round shot capacity. Small, there's no recoil, there's no background check. They can send it right to your house. In my family, there is a college kid that was gifted one of these over Christmas so that she, when she's walking from her apartment to her campus, isn't by herself for her 5 o'clock p.m. class. She carries a Byrna gun. 15-round shot capacity, no background check, no waiting period. It doesn't care about gun-free zones. You buy it online, they send it to your front door. Byrna.com/Dana. Byrna. Byrna.com/Dana. Ready when you are.
The Dana Show Podcast, your fast, funny, and informative news companion for those always on the move. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of the first hour, the chat's at Rumble. You can simulcast, watch the simulcast, channel 347, Direct TV as well. And where to go with this? So I wanted to play, as you know, we had some of this that we took live yesterday. POTUS was in Dearborn. He was at the, he was at a manufacturing facility. He was there at the Ford plant. And there's always some guy, right? There's always some guy, some dog-faced pony soldier, which, can I just sidebar real fast? I'm sidetracking myself. What does that even mean? I asked like legitimate old dudes who are in their 90s, and they're like, hell if I know. I went to the source, man. I was like, look, can you gents explain to me, what does this mean? Nobody knows. I thought it was like a saying from like the days of yore. Apparently it's not. I think he just made it up. It was word salad that made accidental sense anyway. So there's always, you know, he's at this plant. Now, remember when Biden was at the plant, a guy didn't heckle Biden. A guy was asking Biden a tough question, and Biden acted like he was going to square up to him. Remember that? So here's Trump at the Ford plant. Biden's was performative and it looked weak. Trump's at the Ford. I don't know what this guy thought POTUS was going to do. This guy starts heckling POTUS. Watch. You need the meme where you put the glasses on him. So he told him, I can't tell you what he told him. He yelled that the man should go and do something unflattering to himself and then raise the one finger salute. Yeah. Just didn't care. He's like, yeah, we have you. Uh-huh. You. Uh-huh. And here it is. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for pow.
There it is. There it is. Hey, everybody.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. After that. Hey, guys. I just got to watch it again. And then pow. Then he waves. Hey, guys. It's just hysterical. I don't know what that guy thought was going to happen to him. So he's at his job, right? Now, you're at your job. Some of y'all are at work right now. You know, trying not to signal to everybody that you're a conservative. It's all right. Go ahead and do it. But you guys are at your jobs. What would you guys do? Your employer is accepting a visit from the leader of the United States, right? The duly elected leader of the free world. And he shows up and you guys decide, you know, anybody at work, you guys decide you're going to cause a problem and act that way. How do you think that you would have been, would you have been disciplined? Do you think that your employer would have appreciated you acting like that? I mean, I know we all know the answer, but for the left, sometimes the obvious things are just so shocking to them. Like, what do you mean I can't tell the president of the United States at my place of employment to which he was invited and received by my boss to go blank himself? What? Well, that's what happened to this dude. So the dude in question who did the heckling, I don't want to say he wasn't really just heckling. He was really, he was, you know, also telling the president to go. He was calling him a pedophile and all this stuff and saying some unflattering stuff to him. This Ford factory, the employee TJ Sabula, age 40, was disciplined. He was suspended. He said he had no regrets. Ragrats, he was suspended. And he goes, no regrets. As far as calling him out, definitely no regrets. And I love these people. Listen to how they describe themselves. Listen to this. Just the self-adoration. Quote, I don't feel as though fate looks upon you often. And when it does, you better be ready to seize the opportunity. And today, I think I did that. End quote. Dude, you didn't save a child. You screamed invectives at the president of the United States. You didn't. What does he think is going to do other than giving me content to monetize on my airwaves today? What did you think you were going to accomplish by doing this? You think you were going to change the free world because you were calling him a pedophile? I mean, if he had Steve Bannon up there with him and you were shouting that to him, I mean, being BFFs with Epstein, I would completely understand it. And I would say, well, no lies detected. But, you know, he was saying that to POTUS, who does not have that history of that close association to the point where he was advising him. So I'm just, you know, there's a little bit of a difference there. And he, a White House spokesperson told the Daily Mail, quote, a lunatic was wildly screaming expletives in a complete fit of rage. And the president gave an appropriate and unambiguous response. I think it's interesting what the spokesman said. Really feel like he should probably check the definition of unambiguous, because we all felt that it was pretty the opposite that in a very entertaining way. Now, someone with Ford said, quote, one of our core values is respect, and we don't condone anyone saying anything inappropriate like that within our facilities. When that happens, we have a process to deal with it. We don't get into specific personnel matters. Notice how on the right, no one's calling for this guy to be fired. If this was the left, they would, oh my gosh, they would want this dude burned on a pyre. But it's not. I mean, Trump handled it. He was like, yeah, blank you, whatever. You, yeah. And then, whop. That was it. But the guy, this is how the left thinks. They feel like, it sounds like they're on their own little personal crusade. Every day they wake up and it's like they're on the Truman Show. They feel like the world is watching them. I'm going to yell invectives at the president. I can't believe he said this quote. I bet he has a live, laugh, love sign in his house. Quote, I don't feel as though fate looks upon you often. What? Do you think that POTUS is going to go get on Air Force One? That guy yelled at me. I'm going to reconsider everything in my life. No, no. First off, that goes to show you what a schmuck you are, dude. Because POTUS, everybody has a currency, right? This is one of the things that I discovered with my kids early on. I have a currency. Everybody's a currency. It's the thing that you can use to move somebody, right? So of my kids, one of them, criticism is the worst thing that you could ever do. Just like lightly criticize something and it's, oh my gosh. The other kid does not even care about criticism. Doesn't care. He is bought and sold by positive reinforcement. Now, I'm one of those people who I don't care about criticism. I legit don't. I am a positive reinforcement person. In order to get me to do, Kane struggles with this. I'm like an untrained dog in some ways. It has to be, you have to positive reinforcement. That's just, people work differently. Everybody has a currency. Trump's currency, he wants to be flattered. And he also likes positive reinforcement. I'm not saying this is a pejorative. Everybody has it. Some of you out there probably have the same things. It's not saying that you're a bad person. That's just what motivates you. So this guy yelling at POTUS at the Ford plant. First off, if you're going to be some little crusader, you know, it felt like fate looked down on me, except fate didn't tell me exactly what to do. So I just acted like an A double snakes. POTUS was never going to be receptive to anything like that. If anything, that just digs him in further. So great job, dude. You just actually probably set yourself back by 20 paces. Great job. These people don't, they all think like this. All of these people, if you watch on social media, which I try not to, they all record themselves talking into the camera. Like people are out there like, oh my gosh, I wonder what Karen XYZ Jessica 972 on TikTok has to say about this issue. Oh my gosh. And it's like some lady melting down while sitting in her pantry eating chips. I don't know. Why? This guy, listen to him. You know he looks in the mirror every morning and he's like, make it about you. I don't feel as though fate looks upon you often. And when it does, you better be ready to seize the opportunity. And today I think I did that. Whatever makes you sleep easier at night, dude. You go ahead and you tell yourself that. That's all right.
It sounds like he's writing a letter to his family from the front lines of the Civil War. And he throws in some Eminem lyrics. Just kind of shine it up a bit.
Fate has looked upon me and I decided to scream pedophile at the President of the United States. I mean, on the same day that Bill Clinton, I almost said George Clinton. Oh my gosh, that's hysterical. No idea why that happened. Verbal typo, but it ought to stay. But Bill Clinton, a day when he ignored a subpoena, you know, the guy who literally was in the, have you seen some of those nasty photos? I don't like hot tubs and I don't like public pools. I like rivers and streams are fine because it's flowing water, but hot tubs are people soup. It's gross. See Bill Clinton on all these bodies of water with all these other old dudes down at Pedophile Island. Just so gross. Ugh, I'm sick. All right. So to add to that, they had a fundraiser for this guy because he got suspended, right? So what does the left do? The left loves rewarding douchebaggery. So he was suspended. And he said he had no regrets. And now apparently there's a nice little fundraiser for him. They were trying to raise $90,000. Was all of it raised? Because last night it was like 60 something. They started a GoFundMe. And let me see where it is right now. Oh my gosh. This is so stupid. No. I hate everything. So they increased it. I hate everything so much right now. I just want to break things. They started it at $90,000. They increased it to $250,000, to $250,000. What do you think it's at right now? How much money do you think they got raised?
Probably close to double from last night, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's at $333,363.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Why? He was suspended for, oh my gosh. And let's force him to release the Trump Epstein files. Okay, quick thing on this. Do I think it's stupid to campaign on releasing the Epstein files knowing that you might not actually have the full authority to release them? And I'll explain that in a minute. Do I think that action's dumb? Why, yes. Yes, I do. Do I think that Trump is personally preventing the release of the Epstein files? No, because that's retarded. And do you want to know why it is? Because it's a federal seal. It's federal court. It's been sealed. It's a sealed court document. You've got to have Congress get involved with this stuff. Long story short, that's why they were voting on it. That's why they were doing this stuff. That's just so mind-numbingly stupid to think that this is that he's somehow preventing the release of it. That's separate from campaigning on it, because I think it's stupid to campaign on something, then you not follow through or say that, well, it's not a big deal anymore. Well, it was during the campaign. So it's crazy when you tell people things during the campaign that you're going to do. I know, joke's on them. They expect it to happen. But I'm just saying, it's actually not his, within the realm of his authority to personally release it himself. So that's what this these people at this fundraiser don't quite understand. They don't understand that. So they're like, they're trying to discuss how to, the donation beneficiary and all this others. This guy's got $500,000 now, almost $500,000 because of this. He didn't lose his job. He was suspended. And they act like he's a little crusader. Oh my gosh, he's a patriot. For what? Why is he a patriot? Somebody gave, look at these donations. Someone gave $5,000. Some sucker gave $5,000. I mean, if you can make a career out of going out and just, you know, showing your backside to everybody.
I'm kind of curious because,
I mean, it's not Candace Owens got famous. What?
I'm kind of curious because we've seen how this fundraising and all the data that's come out over the last couple of years is some of these small money donations through ActBlue or whatever have been actually tied to the larger Soros Foundation, Tides Foundation, things like that. I wonder if there's any of that going on here.
I mean, I don't know. Might be.
I'm curious.
I'm looking at these donations. Some of the, can you imagine putting your name? I'm going to give money to this. This guy's not hurting for money. He's not losing. He's just suspended. And it wasn't even suspended without pay. They're acting like they banished him to the wilds, away from the colony, away from like Roanoke. They banished him out to the wilds of the Northeast. Shut up. That's not what happened here. Good night. But yeah, that's it's pretty, I don't know. I thought the way that POTUS handled it was funny. The guy was like, I'm a political independent and I've never voted for Trump, but I've supported some Republicans. I don't care. And no, you haven't. So he's going to be on the cover of Time next. No, Tucker's going to have him on his podcast to talk about why the Jews are so bad. That's what's going to happen next. He's going to have this checks notes, TJ Cibula on. So how is this all the Jews' fault? It's going to be the first question. You love it, you know. All right, we got more on the way as we roll towards. Days of the United States. January is when a lot of people finally stop and look at their money. And instead of chasing big predictions or the next hot thing, they just want something solid. And that's why gold keeps coming up as a steady, reliable option. I was talking with Colin Plume over at Noble Gold Investments, and we were discussing how no one really knows what 2026 is going to bring. Elections, markets, wars. But one thing we do know, gold and silver have outlasted every empire, every crash, every currency. And at the end of the day, it's about that peace of mind. Having a little gold in your strategy can make those wild market swings a lot easier to live with, because real wealth isn't flashy. It's being prepared and protecting what you've already built for yourself, your kids, and your grandkids. This is the year to create a more stable financial future. Visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Dana and download their free gold and silver guide. And when you open a qualified account, you'll receive a complimentary 3-ounce silver virtue coin. So visit noblegoldinvestments.com/Dana. That's noblegoldinvestments.com/Dana.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Ooh, get out of my way! Get out of my way!
Will not move, get out move, in, from in front of a federal move, agent. And then he's pretending move, to fall down in front of the car.
Move!
They need to just blast Luda.
Come move here.
You know what? Get out the way. I mean, good heavens, you're just asking to get hit. You're asking to get hit. Stop doing that. Stop it. It's so easy. Just don't. If you think you want to, don't. Look how easy it is to not do that, right? These people. One of the things we're going to dive into here, coming up into the second hour, is some of the arguments to the trans decision, the trans sports decision from SCOTUS. A lot of people were I think, kind of hoping that it was going to come out today, and it didn't. But they, some of the arguments that were made, Ketanji Brown Jackson, I get the sense especially when I see other justices not sign on to her opinions and things like that, that nobody likes her. I get the sense that Sotomayor doesn't like her. Kagan, they're the two progressive females on the court, and I get the sense that they don't like her. She is a DEI hire without it. Like Sotomayor, at least, you know, I don't agree with her politically, and I don't agree with a lot of her decisions, but I'll read them and I'll understand what she's saying, even though I disagree with it because it's a principal dispute. Ketanji Brown Jackson, it's like reading Mad Libs. I don't know. It is bizarre. So bizarre. Some of the folks that I know, I have a couple of friends that used to clerk for SCOTUS, and it's kind of like a running joke. How horrible is that? You don't want to dilute the strength of the highest court in the land with this stuff. And she's out of her league. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples when we come back into the second hour. Plus, the leftists are getting sassy. One guy, I don't know what's happened to him as a penalty, but he was bragging about shooting ICE agents on social media. We'll talk about that and more. Stick with us. Partners, I'll bring you the program. Our friends at WebRoot. Look, it is used to, and I don't want to be mean, but just roll with me here. Used to, you would only have to worry about like your great aunt or your grandparents, like clicking on links and having to deal with phishing attempts and malware because they downloaded something. It is not like that anymore. The crime online is so sophisticated, and it is so easy to compromise your private and financial data, which is why you need to be as or more sophisticated than the people preying upon you. And that's where WebRoot comes in. Right now, you can get 60% off of WebRoot Total Protection. Now, it sounds like a lot, and they do a lot, but you don't even notice it because it's all-in-one device privacy identity protection. It takes the guessing game out of cybersecurity. You protect everything. Your identity, it monitors dark web. You got VPN, cloud backup. But the other cool thing about it is that it doesn't take up a lot of space. It runs super fast. It doesn't take up space. You don't notice it. It doesn't weigh you down. It's lightning fast, lightweight. I mean, you know, stuff like Norton or McAfee, WebRoot Essentials, WebRoot Total Protection, it all scans 6 times faster, takes up 33 times less space. Now, those things back, you know, the ones that I mentioned would be great in 2006, but this is 2026. So you need an actual antivirus, actual digital protection that not only legitimately protects you, but also doesn't slow you down and compromise your ability to do everything you need to do online. Protect yourself and your family this new year from cybercrime with 60% off of WebRoot at webroot.com/Dana. That's 60% off. webroot.com/Dana. Live a safer digital life with WebRoot. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour with you, Dana Lash here. And you can also, if you're not listening across the country terrestrially, you can also check it out, Channel 347 on DirecTV, all kinds of good stuff. So some of the stuff we have been following, including this ongoing fight over ICE agents. And I wanted to bring, let me pull this up. I actually just tweeted it. CBS wrote about it this morning. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but it's, remember right after the video came out, and then it was like, at first there was one or two videos and then the rest of them came out. And then there was, I think, what was it? It was like a day later that the point of view from the officer was released. It was like a full day later.
Yeah, almost a full day. I think it was just under a day later.
Now, why I think that timing is different or is important is because between the release of the point of view of the officer and the other videos, all the left was like, well, I don't know. Looks like he wasn't hit. Nobody hit him. Because at first they said, oh, the officer wasn't hit. The ICE agent who shot Renee Good, he didn't do it because she hit him. He wasn't hit at all. Well, then the point of view video came out and they had to say, oh, okay, well, yeah, but he was just bumped. He was just bumped. What did Jacob Fry say? He was bumped like you would hit the fridge door to close it with your hip. How hard does Jacob Fry hit the fridge door? Does he hit it hard enough to have to be taken to the hospital for internal bleeding? Because that's what happened to, according per CBS, that's what happened to this ICE agent. And I love the notes that they're, people are trying to put onto it. It's ridiculous. The guy went in because he apparently, one of the reports said he had like a bruised rib or something. I had read that. I couldn't find that elsewhere, but I saw that like from another, that was a state media report. But he had internal bleeding and he apparently had to be taken to the hospital to assess it. And I mean, I think if you have to go to the hospital, that's probably more than just he had a bruise on his belly or his hip. It sounds like it. So all the people on the left are like, yeah, but okay, well, let's just like, let's play with your argument for a moment then. He just got bruised from what? What did he get bruised from? Lunchboxes? Come on. Buy the ticket. Take the ride. What did he get bruised from? Remember, y'all were out there saying that the man wasn't even hit. How did, and now it comes out he had to go to the hospital because he had internal bleeding. And people are like, yeah, well, that just means it's a bruise. From what? What did he get a bruise from? Come on. What did he get a bruise from? What? Oh, hold up. Hold up. So he did get hit by a car. Oh, yeah. Because you don't just like magically, again, going with the left, get a bruise from nowhere, right? Not just from sitting. Kane, are you bruised all of a sudden right now anywhere?
Nope.
Nobody hit you, right?
Nope.
Now see?
I didn't close any fridge doors either.
Yeah, you didn't close any fridge door. I think it, by the, just Jacob Fry saying that he would hurt his hip closing his fridge door. He is,
beta.
I think he's trans. I think instead of focusing on Bridget Macron, you need to focus on Jacob Fry because Jacob Fry sounds like he has a female copulatory organ. That is no, said in the Lord of the Rings, Eowyn voice, that is no man. Yeah, if you're hurting yourself because you're closing your fridge, you've got some serious issues, T-Dog. You got some serious issues. So he was hit. That's the point. Now, let me stop further. Let me just pause right here. You got somebody behind the wheel of a car. And they gun it for you. They gun it for you. You hear the engine rev in the video. So don't lie and be like, that was birds. Don't do that. You hear it in the video. Do you know at that moment whether or not that person's going to kill you or not? Or maybe just kind of bump you? Oh, you don't. So yeah, you're probably going to use force, lethal force, to protect yourself, right? That's why he's completely in the right. Just amazing how much their narratives fall apart with just a little bit of scrutiny. I mean, it's not amazing. It's entirely predictable. It only amazes anybody that thinks that it wouldn't happen that way. Any kind of scrutiny makes their whole narrative fall apart. So the guy had been hurt. He got hurt because he got hit by a car. End of story. You know why I think that there were so many of these people, Kane, that accepted the premise of, well, it's just like when you close your fridge door with your hip. Can we get that one video ready? I saw this. I was going to address this earlier, but we had so much going on at the start of the week. So I saw this. It first appeared on Facebook. And it's this leftist. And we're going to show you the video. And then you need to pull up a chair. Because we're gonna analyze the video. This is a progressive who's trying to scare ICE agents by acting so hard. Watch.
Dear ICE, here's a message from your friendly neighborhood leftist. Not all of us are going to stop at snowballs in the future. So maybe think twice before you just start randomly shooting into vehicles.
Oh my gosh. Hug that Magwell. Hug it. Hug it. Look at his sloppy trigger. Oh my gosh. This man is frightened. Oh my gosh.
And some of us aren't just going to randomly fire into things. Some of us actually know how to aim.
Except for me.
So
this guy is the biggest chode. I cannot ridicule this man enough. This guy is seriously a low T female copulatory organ. In the dictionary, if you looked up beta cuck, it's this guy. I've never seen a man get cucked by his own gun. But I just, actually, probably it's not even his. He probably rented it at the range. First off, The dude's fully supported, hugging that Magwell like he's going on a date with it. The trigger. I can't even do that. He's like all over the place with this trigger finger. 25 yards out with that kind of a scope, and the man takes that. He would be overwhelmed before he'd even get a second round off. What a D-bag. I cannot believe that this guy put this on the internet thinking that it was a flex. I've seen seven-year-olds shoot better than this female copulatory organ. Look at him hugging the Magwell. Look at him. Here's that sloppy trigger finger. Oh, my gosh. This guy is not scary at all. He needs to get a gun that he can handle if he's actually going to shoot. Who takes that long, 25 yards out, and then he tries to brag about that absolute fecal grouping at 25 yards out with a scope? Oh, my gosh. He's all supported, all sandbagged up in his indoor range. I bet it wasn't even 25 yards. I bet it was like 15. How much he went? Actually, I don't even think that this guy put holes through a paper target. I think he had his boyfriend peg it, the target, that is. His boyfriend poked the holes in the target.
Is it Friday today?
No, it's not Friday, Kane.
Erection.
That's right. Is that guy scary? No, that guy's not scary. That guy's sad. He's actually from Missouri. Man, of course, you know, the internet did its thing. That was lame and gay. I mean, actually, that's mean to gay people who shoot. Yeah. That's lame. Yeah. That's so bad. Who are these people? He's like, oh, this year, he calls himself liberal trucker or whatever. What an insult to truckers. But he actually was threatening to shoot ICE agents. And he's acting like, can you believe he's sitting here lecturing about tactics? This is one of the most embarrassing. He's a FUD. He is a straight up FUD. And this guy's going to, I'd rather hear Biden talk about shooting stuff off his balcony. I can't. And then he's like 5 days later, still acquiring target. He's all over the place with this. Oh, my gosh. And then he tries to flex and brag about it. I don't think anybody needs to worry about these guys. No. Yeah, I don't really think anybody needs to worry about him. He does all these videos and he's got these tells. He's got his D-bag little earrings and he does this. If you're watching the simulcast, you can't see what I'm doing. But he has these little ticks because he's a basic bee. And he does a bounce before his camera starts, like every single time, like get me, whether he's sitting down or whatever. It's just annoying. Learn how to shoot. Get a gun that you can adequately handle and learn how to shoot. And also don't threaten to kill people. I get it that leftists get off on that. And they love talking about, not just talking about killing people, but they love killing people, whether it's for their free speech, whether it's ICE agents, they love trying to do it. You can't, it's only coming one way, folks, so it's not an exaggeration. But I'm going to tell you something. Don't be an idiot like this guy, because these guys believe their own bravado. He's not even a man. He's just literally a female copulatory organ. We'll call him a FCO. Because FCOs like this, they talk a really good game, but when you screw around with someone who does know what they're doing, the people you're talking about aren't the ones that are going home in body bags. You are. So don't be stupid. Don't be stupid and be stupid online and encourage other people to be as stupid as you are. Don't lecture people about tactics when you can't even manage the gun. You can't even handle the damn recoil of the rifle you're holding. Don't talk about ICE agents and sending people home when you're like terrified shooting at an indoor range 25 yards out with a crap grouping. You don't even need that kind of big old scope for that, overcompensating for much. I mean, I get that you might need that scope to find his manhood and dignity, but not the target at 25 yards out in an indoor range.
Need a bigger scope.
Yeah, you need a way bigger scope to find, you know, the aforementioned. But this is stupid. All these people that talk so tough online, is it about saving lives and de-escalation or not? Because you will find yourself sideways one day if you keep that up with somebody who does know what the hell they're doing. And it will not go well for you at all whatsoever. This guy's getting dragged online. I posted it on Instagram and oh my gosh, my folks on Instagram dragged him 6 ways to Sunday. It was like the funniest reality show ever, reading some of these comments. But this guy, people need to, this is, the left needs to not be like this. They've done enough stuff like this. If you dislike what the law is, A, win elections without cheating. B, you actually have to change and modify law that you dislike. And you're not going to do that by threatening to kill the people that are enforcing the law that are made by the lawmakers elected to office by the voters. When you do stuff like that, you're not just attacking like the agents, you're attacking the voters. Because the voters, like me, voted for this. So you're attacking innocent Americans while simultaneously pretending that you're some kind of like, you know, crusader. I mean, it's just embarrassing. And last but not least, never, ever, ever post a crap video of yourself not being able to handle the recoil of a rifle with an overcompensating scope 25 yards out, having a crap grouping, and you can't even reacquire the trigger. It is one of the most embarrassing things I've ever seen in my life. And if this guy had a little bit more sense, more brain cells, and a little more dignity and self-awareness, maybe he would have realized that and deleted it before it went viral. But alas, here we are. During the holidays, it's easy for all the healthy habits to go out the window. Desserts, late nights, you name it. But now that the new year has begun, I have one easy suggestion to get you back on track, and it starts with Cove Pure. Everyone runs to new supplements, diets, and workouts, but ignores the most basic thing, water. Even mild dehydration hurts your energy, your focus, and metabolism. And with all the garbage in tap water, you're starting behind before you even begin. Cove Pure fixes that. Their ClearWave reverse osmosis tech removes up to 99.9% of contaminants, PFAS, microplastics, pharmaceutical residue, fluoride, heavy metals. So you're just drinking water, which is why we love it. And you can pick hot, cold, or warm water at the touch of a button and use size presets like 16 ounces to make hitting your water goals simple. It sits on your countertop, no installation or plumber needed. I have mine in my studio and my team uses it every day. Make a New Year's resolution that sticks. Improve your health with Cove Pure. Get $200 off for a limited time when you use my link, covepure.com/Dana. That's covepure.com/Dana.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So young Americans are unplugging and it's making them happier. Yay! We're all so happy about that because I think it makes everybody happier. Gen Z, which I don't know if I see this as much as the people in the survey do. It said that they are leading the way when it comes to taking a digital detox. Despite growing up with smartphones, according to a new survey, 63% of Gen Z intentionally unplugged, the highest rate of any generation. 70%, on average, 70% of time Americans spend online leaves them feeling disconnected and lonely. I believe that. I think people spend way too much time online. It's a big issue in our house because the one way to just get me from zero, like super happy and chill, to I want to burn it all down, is to bring your phone out of the table. I will literally take your phone and I will throw it across the blanking room. I absolutely will. And then I'll take it outside with a hammer and I'll beat it into bits. That's the one way to get me absolutely from zero to in like a 0.2 seconds. 0.2 seconds. Let's see. Are you dead? Because you need an app for that. There's an app for everything. Now you can check if your loved ones are still alive. Talking about being disconnected. You need an app to check whether or not the people in your that you like are dead? Apparently, an app asks users to check in by tapping a bright green button every 2 days to prove they're still alive. Because in an increasingly isolated society, everybody's terrified of dying alone. This is the stupidest thing. We're in an isolated society. You know how to make that stop? You know how to stop it? Yeah, stop isolating. I'm going to show you guys on the simulcast. Like that. What? Whoa.
Seems so difficult.
We're going to have a tutorial. Like how to, you know? Daniel Stern is charged with soliciting prostitution in a California motel. He was in Home Alone. That's kind of, okay. And Newsom vows to stop a proposed billionaire tax in California. What a 180. Stick with us. We got a lot more coming. It's the folks over at Relief Factory. You can find relief from everyday aches and pains with Relief Factor. If you're one of those individuals dealing with pain, if it slowed you down, imagine what getting some of your mobility, your freedom would be like. Relief Factor has a 3-week quick start. That could be your first step. They support your body's natural inflammatory response that causes aches, soreness, stiffness, discomfort, all from exercise and daily activities. It targets that inflammation that can keep you from exercising and enjoying the things that you love with greater freedom and mobility. Now, Relief Factor is 100% drug-free formula. It's made with research-backed ingredients that include omega-3s, resveratrol, all of that designed to support relief from that everyday exercise-related, whatever, discomfort. So try the 3-week quick start for just $19.95. Visit relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to see if you can be the next to get out of pain with Relief Factor. That's relieffactor.com, 800-4-RELIEF. Tell them Dana sent you.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast, your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
A little bit of Simple Minds, New Gold Dream, which is one of my absolute top, probably top four favorite songs of all time. I know it was one of their earlier albums, and it's not even one of their most famous tracks, but it's fantastic. Saw them live last year. Wonderful show. All right, so the... I can't believe how stupid this is. Let's see here. So this story, I don't even understand. So we've been discussing, you know, the ICE, the deportations will continue until immigration law is respected. That's just the way it is. I mean, it's true. The newest tactic that is now being promoted are leftist broads that are talking about shagging ICE agents so they can dox them, expose their identities and get their personal information. Now, I went and I looked up a couple of the accounts that are promoting it. One of them, the main account that was promoting it, guys, can I just from a female, let me just tell you. If you're looking online at a lady and you're looking at her photo and it looks real blurry, run. Run. Because that girl is ugly in real life. She's ugly. If she has to filter herself to look like she's covered with marzipan instead of real life, run from her. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of women do a little correction and a lot of like media outlets do it. But on social media, you don't need to completely retouch literally everything about you. Like, even the collar on her photo is soft. Like, it's blurred too. Like, she just blurred her whole, like, it's like she went, just got a photo, just paid an astronomical amount for Photoshop without learning how to use it and did the healing tool on like everything. I don't know. Anyway, I just pointed that out to you. I don't know how successful they're going to be. This is one of what one of the posts was. She says, quote,
"Hi, everybody. I'm part of a group of about 20 or so women from Massachusetts doing this. We have a private Facebook group, about 1,000 people. Some of us go on dates and others help on the back end with background checks and finding info, etc. I will not post the name of the group here. It's not obvious. It's inconspicuous, which I can't spell. So we don't get trolls or snitches. Shoot me a message if you're in the area and you want to join us."
And then she has a middle finger and an ice cube. So they think that they're going to like dox ICE agents by trying to sleep with them.
They're announcing their honeypot plans.
Yeah. Way to be a honeypot.
Okay.
So ladies, let's hoe it up. And I'm going to just be really public about it and post about it all over the internet. That's really surreptitious, isn't it? Look how sneaky I'm being. No one knows. Post. I mean, can I just say, probably, I mean, the ICE agent who shot Renee Good, his wife is prettier than any of these broads talking about this stuff. Just got to say, I'm pretty sure they're not going to be interested in whatever great value strange you have that you're trying to sell. All right. Nobody's interested. Are you okay?
Yeah.
That's a new band name. Put it down.
I'm gonna do it.
Great value strange. Put it down.
Got it.
Yep. You'd wear that. You'd wear that on a T-shirt, wouldn't you, DJ Fun Uncle? You'd do that. So, I just don't think that these dudes are going to be tempted by these females. I'm just saying. But way to like get it. I mean, now it's everybody knows what they're doing. Everybody knows what they're doing. It's like whenever people in whether it's O'Keefe or any of these other dudes that go out and they do these sting operations or they do these undercover reporting. Have you ever noticed that the guys always, the progressive dudes in these videos, they always think that the woman talking to them is legitimately interested in them? Like my dude, she's about 20 leagues above your status. What are you thinking? It couldn't possibly be a honeypot. You're really flattering yourself into thinking she's going to be into you. I just don't, but they're talking about, bragging about it, like, so they can expose their info and dox them. But I've seen the women. Have you seen the women, Kane?
Oh, I have.
Yeah, that's why they got to gloss themselves up. I mean, they all look like Stephen Colbert. All the women that are doing, they all look like Stephen Colbert. They do. Without the Adam's apple, or maybe with, I don't know. I don't think, or you could just follow the law. They're more interested in this. Anything that they can do to not talk about the fraud, ixnay on the rod fray. Shh. Don't want to talk about that. It could get Jacob Fry in trouble because he took money from it. He took some money. So, yeah, it is true. You got this? I don't think it's going to work, though, because ICE agents, I think, like their jobs. It's, this is Cut 18. This ICE agent really likes his job, Kane. Sounds like he really digs it. Listen.
Yeah. You should be ashamed of yourself, man.
He is.
I love my job. Thank you.
You love your job?
I can't believe I get paid for this.
Really?
I do this for free.
Really? I get $200K. I'm a physician assistant.
How long did you go to school for that?
Over 7 years.
I went to high school. And I make $200K.
People regard me as someone valuable.
Apparently they don't, because you're in a parking lot filming someone else do their job. So apparently you're not that valued. Nobody's going, where's Karen at? Or wait, you know, they said that the new name is Jessica. Real quick sidebar. It's not Karen. Now they're saying Jessica. I think it's that one blogger named Jane who made that happen. She's on Instagram. She's hysterical. I think it's her. She's like a younger version of Leanne. I think it's her that made that, because she has a younger Karen, a millennial Karen in her videos that she calls Jessica. And I think that's what pushed it over the top. But anyway, I mean, this lady, clearly no one's missing her. She's standing in a parking lot filming somebody else do their job. Yeah, so why aren't you? Imagine you're, full stop for a second. What? This psychological makeup of these people. They are not, it sounds like they're not there to contest the operation. They make everything about them immediately. Everything is about themselves. They internalize everything. It's all about themselves instantly.
Yeah, well, I'm valued.
Well, apparently not. Nobody cares either. You're standing here filming this dude do his job. Why are you talking about yourself and making it all about yourself? Progressives have like a, it is an epidemic of self-infatuation on that side. They make everything about them. It's less about the people that they claim that they're trying to help, which is why these people never get the help that, you know, these people claim that they're providing. They never help them. They get in there and make everything about themselves. They record themselves. They flex. They virtue signal. Golly, social media, in some respects, has leveled the playing field. And in others, it's become literally the mind aids of multiple generations. They made it. Doesn't it sound like that? It's like, why are you there then? Are you there to talk about your own self, or what's your purpose here? Yeah, exactly. But it's, yeah, mind aids also could be a really, yeah, could be. It could also maybe be the first album of Great Value Strange.
Oh, okay.
Could be. We're doing that. It's going to actually happen. So I got a couple other things here. We also have this story of a Secret Service agent who was assigned to the vice president, who was placed on leave after a security leak. I was reading some of these supposed text messages. This guy was like bragging about this stuff. The director of Secret Service said that they had no tolerance for the behavior that could compromise safety of their protectees. You think? Apparently, the agent was claiming that he was a part of Vance's protective detail. And he was even talking about his movements and where he was going to go. But then he would stop and say, well, I can't, you know, that's, I can't do that because that would, you know, can't tell you this or can't tell you that. But he did enough. When your politics make it to where you can't do your day-to-day job, you've got an issue. You should be able to respect. This is what it means to respect the office. You don't have to like the people in it. Even, you know, even when we had a Democrat president, I would never want out of because of the office and because this is a country that, unlike any other country, we have bloodless transfers of power every election. And that is something amazing and rare and something that should be celebrated. And the way that we run our system in a republic with democratic processes. And to have to attack the individual in the office with violence or beyond the existing pathways of contesting decisions or even elections, to attack it, the person who's been elected to the seat with violence, you're not attacking that person, you're attacking the institution. You're attacking the process by which people selected that individual. And through that, you're actually attacking the people. And it doesn't matter what party's in power, you're attacking the person. Although I fail to see how people who can't even get off their backsides to go vote would ever be able to actually successfully prosecute a civil conflict. But that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. But I saw some of those texts. They were published and then they were immediately deleted. But really bad. I don't know. I think it also signifies that you need to have a little bit more discipline top down in your agency. There needs to be a healthy fear of penalty if you act outside the bounds of professionalism and act outside the bounds of your duty. Now, when you're not in that position anymore and you're not performing that job, fine, whatever, run your mouth. But when you're performing that job, you're performing that job as a condition of employment on behalf of the American people. And like I said, even when there are Democrats that have been in office that I don't like, but because of what everything that we have spent, the blood and treasure we have spent in this nation to protect these processes and to uphold the republic, I don't want that compromised by people who were too lazy to win an election, so they decided to get violent as a substitute for actual civic responsibility or participation in the system. That's what's infuriating. We've got Florida Man on the way as we roll towards the conclusion of the second hour already. How are we at this? Wait, how are we at the end of the second hour already? This is way too fast.
It is.
Good night. Folks who bring the program to you, it's our friends over at the company Human. It's Super Beats Heart Chews. You know them. They also make these turmeric chews. Turmeric. And then they have this turmeric curcumin complex because I didn't know this until I became an adult. I actually didn't know anything about turmeric. And then I became an adult and was like, oh, so you can't just like take any old, you know, form of turmeric. I want to say bridge turmeric, like Always Sunny in Philadelphia with Frank's bridge denim. Like you can't just go and get some bridge turmeric because the body kind of struggles with the absorbability of it. And you want to get the full punch of it. It's great in helping your body develop a healthy inflammatory response. Turmeric is so good for that. And it's very good for you. The turmeric that they use is a standout form of turmeric. So they made this turmeric curcumin complex that increases the absorbability. They use a really great form of turmeric so that one serving delivers the equivalent antioxidant support of what you would find in larger amounts of just, you know, standard turmeric extract. So you get all of the benefits and it tastes great. Chewy little starburst. It's like they say it's like a light. It's kind of a very light orangey citrus flavor. It's a little smaller than a Starburst, but it's super chewy. It does the job and it's very easy to take. And it's at Sam's Club. You can get bags of the stuff at Sam's Club, which I recommend that you do because that's the best place to get it. But it's all about helping your body's inflammatory response, and inflammatory issues plague so many people, and so many people don't do anything about it and develop, and it actually exacerbates problems later on. So check out the turmeric chews from the company behind Super Beats Heart Chews Human. You can find the turmeric chews at Sam's Club. Pick up your bag today.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I know. Okay. Yeah. All right. So let me just set the story up for you. He's already looking at this. I said on break, like, what in the world? This is in Fort Walton Beach. Just let me give you the headline. Woman tries to avoid arrest by defecating towards officers in Fort Walton Beach.
What?
Towards? What does that mean? I don't know. I said Tuesday. This was just yesterday. Officers responded to the Palms of Emerald Coast Massage Parlor due to a report of battery on a Department of Health employee. According to the Fort Walton Beach Police Department, the employee was conducting a routine inspection when Feng Wang, a massage parlor employee, became upset and began yelling at the inspector.
Wait, is this a real story?
It is literally from WJHG channel whatever in Florida. It's a real news article. I kid you not. Now back to the story. Police said Feng Wang tried to force the inspector out of the business. When officers tried to detain Feng Wang, she began defecating towards officers in an attempt to avoid being arrested. Feng Wang was arrested for battery on a specified official.
Splattery.
Okay, I am made of questions right now. How does one do that? Towards something that suggests
yes.
There is force to projectile it in a direction, right? I don't know. I don't really want to know.
On the list of ideas on how to get away from cops, defecating towards them would probably be way, way, way the bottom.
You're so going to get arrested. It's still battery. Even if it's with that, it's still battery. So she was so totally arrested, as you can imagine. And she was taken to jail. So, yeah, that's not, no. Oh, my gosh. I have so many. Let's do a... Okay, so we got a Florida man who stole a motorcycle from gas station employees and then returned only to threaten the guy with a knife. So it wasn't enough that his bike stolen. The guy came back and was like, I'm going to cut you with a knife. He wore it hanging around his neck. What? I need to know more about the knife. Was it like a pocket knife? Was it a switch? Like, what was it?
Right.
They should have solved their dispute without that. But no, the authorities are holding the guy without Vaughn. He had a restraining order, which enhanced everything. So USPS driver tries to run over a 10-year-old, bringing the wrongly delivered package to the right home. The postal worker thought that he was a porch pirate. Yeah, this is in Florida. The guy was arrested. I mean, he's got a mugshot and everything now. It's not just a simple oops. This is according to ABC affiliate WEAR channel. I don't know which one. The boy was bringing the package to his neighbor's house because they dropped it off to his house by accident. And William White is accused of trying, he's 41, accused of trying to hit the 10-year-old in Escambia County. He was riding his scooter with the package, the kid was, and he was returning it to his neighbor. White saw the boy with the package, thought he was trying to steal it, purposely drove his USPS vehicle towards the kid and ran over the scooter, narrowly missing the boy. The kid hurt his ankle when he tried to get out of the way and fell off onto the side of the road. So that guy, he was screaming at the boy and everything. So he was totally arrested. I doubt that he's going to be with USPS much longer or anymore. $5,500 bond. He was released on bond, but he's going back to court. That's insane. Stick with us. Third hour next.
This notion that this is really just about the definition of we accept that you can separate boys and girls, and we are now looking at the definition of a girl, and we're saying only people who were girl assigned at birth qualify.
And
girl, she said that not just one time, because this is, we had some audio yesterday, and I was reading also a readout, or not readout, oh my gosh, the word I'm looking for, transcript, yesterday where she was talking about girl assigned or assigned female at birth. And we discussed how we're all so tired of that language, that idiotic language that's being perpetuated. And it just makes everybody dumber. It just makes everybody dumber because I don't even know what that means, assigned. It's like we just apparently think that there are no identifying factors until someone goes through the birth canal. It doesn't even make any sense. But that's Ketanji Brown Jackson yesterday Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. We are at the top of this third hour. I was actually pulling this up because they had tweeted something out about that. We didn't get the trans decision on trans sports today. That's probably going to be the summer, you know, when we get into SCOTUS season. But this is, let me share this one transcript with you. So Jackson had said at one point, quote, "I guess I'm still struggling to understand why the state would have to have perfectly tailored laws. I would think the state would just have to make exceptions where people can demonstrate that the justification that makes the state's conduct constitutional doesn't apply to them." And the attorney arguing in front of SCOTUS goes, "Yeah, so making exceptions, literally I'm reading it. Yeah, so making exceptions is tailoring your law. That's literally what it means to tailor your law." I need a moment. That is, wow. How did she, DEI, oh my gosh. That's like making me an NFL commissioner. Are there more, wait, sorry, shh. Cyber, Kane, is there more than one? Is there just the one?
Oh, I don't know.
How many commissioners are there?
Can we look at science?
Steve, how many NFL commissioners are there? Okay, sorry, okay. It would like be like me making me NFL commissioner. Her on SCOTUS is like me running the NFL. Can you imagine that? "I don't like the color of your uniforms. Can you pick something that doesn't look so mustard?" It's so gross. "We don't like maroon and we don't like mustard." No. "We don't like those colors. You can do a berry or a burgundy, but we're not doing a rust dried blood red. Not happening." Blah. So 70s. That would be me running the NFL. The men would just be like, "What is happening?" Oh my gosh. I tend to think that if you, I mean, even Sotomayor's line of questioning was interesting because you're talking about Title IX and think of the grift. Title IX was, you know, the argument is that it was created to equalize things between men and women. And now, in a twist of irony, it's being used to unequalize things between men and women, namely women being able to come and men dressed as women being able to come and take over women's sports, and women are allowing it. Third wave and fourth wave feminists are allowing it. So Title IX ultimately is being used against them in this, which is hysterical because after a while it was at the point where it was just really being used to browbeat our boys. I can't, man alive. It's just crazy. Lorraine's like, "One, there's one commissioner." I see, baseball, different ball game. I know all about Cardinals, God's team. Football, I can't help you. So people have asked me why. I don't mean to get off track, but people have asked me, like, why do you not understand football? I grew up in St. Louis. We had like a football team for a little bit when I was little bitty, and then we didn't for a while. And then when did we get the Rams, Kane? When did we actually get the St. Louis Rams?
Mid to late 90s.
So I was like in junior high. And then by the time we lost them, we were at Super Bowl when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And then after that, it kind of, and then we lost them.
Greatest show on turf. It sort of went out, I think it went out of St. Louis around 2001, 2002, something like that.
Yeah, so I didn't, we only had them for a short period. And we did not have like a fan structure, a base that had grown up with them as like a legacy institution, a legacy team, the way we had the Cardinals, right? It was very different. So that's why I never followed it. Like, but baseball, everybody follows. My husband and I have been out to our anniversary in October when we got married in October. And usually that's always, Cardinals are always the October surprise, right? They're always there. They're always in. And we would be literally like refreshing the MLB app, watching everything as it, I mean, we're really in a, I had members of my family that had Cardinals themed baby showers for their daughters. Not kidding. It's a big thing. Football, not so, so I didn't grow up with it like the way that people grew up with the Cowboys here in Dallas. It's very different. Like the Cowboys are the, more so than the Rangers. That's like the team. It's like the legacy team. And so it's a little bit different. Like baseball, love baseball. Also, it helped that we had Jack Buck.
Yeah.
Or sorry, Joe Buck. No, Joe's his son, Jack Buck. That we had, because he could make you want to listen to anything. I mean, just think of it. In the summer, fireflies, you got pork steaks on the grill, pause cooking pork steaks, and you got Jack Buck's voice ringing out over your backyard. I mean, that is literally the American dream. It's amazing. That's just, you know, growing up in St. Louis in the summer with that is amazing. The Rams, different. It's still different. We didn't know what to do. We loved Mark Warner. We loved the whole team that they had. I mean, that was easy to follow. It was great. And then it just was like a one and done thing. You know what I mean? So it's very different. To explain myself to folks who were like, we do not get your disconnect with football. That's why. We're kind of predisposed to it. So that being said, this discussion about the trans issues in sports, I feel this will, I mean, this will all come down during SCOTA season in summer, for those wondering. I said Kurt Warner.
I think he said Mark Warner.
But did I say Mark Warner?
I think so. Because he's a politician.
Yeah,
so
that's why. Kurt Warner. I meant Kurt Warner. Oh my gosh, everybody loved that. Everybody loved his rags to riches story. Stock boy becoming like amazing quarterback. Oh my gosh, so great. Such a great story. I wanted to play some more audio for you that's, let me pull this up for a moment, forgive me, that gets into this. This is Cut 21. This was Alito going, leaning really in to what these, and really trying to make the council arguing before SCOTUS follow the claim to the conclusion. This is another insightful piece of audio from these arguments yesterday. Listen.
Is it not necessary for there to be, for equal protection purposes, if that is challenged under the Equal Protection Clause, an understanding of what it means to be a boy or a girl or a man or a woman?
Yes, Your Honor.
And what is that definition? For equal protection purposes, what does it mean to be a boy or a girl or a man or a woman?
Sorry, I misunderstood your question. I think that the underlying enactment, whatever it was, the policy, the law, we'd have to have an understanding of how the state or the government was understanding that term to figure out whether or not someone was excluded. We do not have a definition for the court. And we don't take issue with we're not disputing the definition here. What we're saying is that the way it applies in practice is to exclude birth sex males categorically from women's teams, and that there's a subset of those birth sex males where it doesn't make sense to do so according to the state's own interest.
It sounds completely arbitrary and entirely made up. He had said at one point, Alito goes, so to decide if there's discrimination on the basis of sex, you need to define what sex is, right? And the lawyer for the ACLU, the woman you just heard, said, yes, Your Honor. And he goes, well, what does it mean to be a man, woman, or a boy or a girl? She said, quote, we do not have that definition.
What the hell are you doing there?
I cannot believe that the Supreme Court is entertaining a case brought on by mentally ill body dysmorphia people who have a fetish for dressing up like chicks. Yeah. I cannot believe that we are doing this right now. A tiny mentally ill subsect of our populace. I have no words. So we don't have a definition. Well, we don't. So you can't, how do you determine whether or not there's discrimination if you can't even define what's being discriminated against? That's the million-dollar question. Okay, so you can't define it. How do you even know it's being discriminated against if you can't even define it? And as Kane notes, what makes all of this even, you know, adding insult to injury is they're doing this to satisfy men who can't compete with other men. So they treat the women's athletic outlets as a JV league or a rec league. And they disenfranchise women in their own league. Women, we created our own sports. We didn't demand that the men lower their expectations of athleticism. We didn't demand that the men change their physical requirements, change the rules of the game. We didn't demand that. We created our own women's sports. That's fine. So trans should do the same thing instead of trying to eliminate women on the playing field. There is nothing more sexist than progressive men continuing to target women, just like they did back when they didn't want women to vote. They didn't want women. They wanted women, if their husbands were to pass and they had no sons, to be destitute and homeless. The left has always been on the wrong side of history for absolutely everything. But the arguments, how do you sit there and make this, how do you have this determination without just saying, this case is so stupid, I'm going to throw it out? If you can't even define the thing that you claim is being discriminated against, how in the hell can you say that it's being discriminated against? Does it make any sense? Kane said if his kid wanted to be a pirate, should he amputate his leg and remove one of his eyes and give him a peg leg and a patch to affirm him? That's not an affirmation. That's abuse. You know, sometimes parents think that they're placating their kids and it's abusively done. This is an extreme version of that. You don't enable it. Parents aren't supposed to be enablers of bad behavior. Parents aren't supposed to be enablers of dangerous behavior. Parents aren't supposed to be enablers and facilitators of dangerous ideologies that harm children. This is harmful to children. This isn't even informed consent. I think it's a I feel like it should be classified in the same way that underage sexual relations without the beyond the age of consent are classified as statutory. This should be some kind of statute. This is, should be a statutory offense because this is not informed consent. You cannot tell me that a 9-year-old is capable of understanding the damage done to them by hormones. You cannot tell me that it's better for women to have to sit benched so a man can play in her spot in a female sport and dominate. That's the other thing. The difference between the percentage of people who identify as trans and who are trying to take women out of women's sports and then those same athletes that win medals is insane. It's a small fraction, but yet it's like they dominate all the awards. They dominate first place. They win over females, over scholarships, all of it. That's literally why female sports, women's sports were created. And the fact that we're even dealing with this at the Supreme Court level is a joke. It's an absolute joke. We are pretending, we are indulging the mental illness of a sexual body, of a fetish or a body dysmorphia. We are indulging this illness at the expense of females, of women. There's no excuse for this.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, so first up, the apparently some tourists are getting into a little bit of trouble. They're blindly following their GPS and they're ending up driving on a, they ended up going driving literally on a ski slope in Andorra. And it was a group of tourists. They were following GPS and the roads were all snow covered. Now it was all snow covered and they ended up, this is like in the Pyrenees Mountains. So Andorra is like between, it's like between Spain and France, right? So it's like up there in the Pyrenees that they drove right onto a ski slope. You don't think that you didn't look up and be like, wait, these are the, this is a little ski gondolas here.
That's why they make windshields.
Yeah. 21 times the legal limit. A Wisconsin man tests 21 times the legal limit, arrested for the second. What is that OWI? That's
operating
while intoxicated. Okay. How are you 21 times the legal limit?
21 times.
That's like almost all your blood. It's all your blood, man. I was trying to see what he blew for a blood alcohol test, but it's okay. So wait, he 0.427.
Oh my gosh.
0.427.
That is drunk.
You think? Yeah, a little bit. Well, because he got a little bit of a buzz. On a Spanish flight, a dead passenger was found, and the husband was arrested wheeling his deceased wife through the airport. I'm going to save that for tomorrow to finish that one. But we got more in store. Don't go anywhere.
Not able to catch all 3 hours of The Dana Show? Subscribe to the full podcast and get news and laughs delivered in short, easy-to-digest episodes. Ideal for your busy lifestyle on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Yesterday, they arrested an analyst at New York City Hall, an analyst with legal work authorization. Have you met an analyst lately? I mean, they're really not threatening. They're not the baddest of the bad. I mean, they're just doing their jobs. Is that person really a threat? Come on.
Well, he had an assault conviction. The guy in question, Rafael Andreas Rubio Borquez, he had a, I mean, he's been here for a long time. He overstayed his 2017 tourist visa and he has prior arrest. So don't sit here and act like he's just like this fruit picker that you guys just grabbed and, you know, that's the end of it. That's really incredibly disingenuous. Why did Democrats hire him and keep him working? He had no, like, he apparently wasn't even working. He was detained during a routine immigration court check-in. And that was on the 12th. So that was a couple of days ago. So he was, and he's very, very far left dude. He, which, you know, goes to show you the ideology that doesn't really care about law. But he had a prior arrest, apparently it was for assault. And he had overstayed his visa. And that was it. Yeah, he wasn't supposed to be here. And again, assault conviction. He couldn't even legally work in the United States. So how in the hell did the city of New York hire him?
Thank you.
If you're here illegally, how in the world are you, how do you work with New York government? You bring up a really good point, one that I've always made, too, in this argument.
Yeah.
I have a chat. Actually, it's part of my chapter about it in Hands Off My Gun, my first book.
As it relates to guns, they're always acting like we don't have background checks. When, by the way, nationwide, when you go to purchase a gun, that's the first thing that they do. But they don't do any background checks on these people that they hire on the left to run government agencies and to be included in government agencies. And they're still pointing fingers at an...
Well, that's the thing they do.
What?
They do.
Wait a minute. They do the background check. They know they're criminals and they just hire them anyway? The hell?
Yep. They do, especially for government positions. Ooh. They absolutely do run those checks. Not only that, but here's the big thing that I always argue, because I think the background check system for firearms is stupid. But aside from that, all the people who say that they wanted that to work with employers, they run your social. They don't, not social media, but social security number. With firearm purchases, they don't. That's why there's so many false positive rejections. People who, they're 4473, where they might be denied because their name is similar. Yeah. If you did that in an employee setting, if you were falsely denied because of somebody's name that was similar, that's actually grounds for a lawsuit. And there's a lot of legal precedent. You can seriously win big money for that.
Wow.
But for firearms, it's not a... They're two totally different standards. So that is just insult to injury. Not only did they know, but they hired him anyway. They hired him out of spite. Well, think about it. Who was the guy? Let me pull this story up. Give me 1 second. The guy that was in Illinois, he was hired as a police officer in Hanover Park. He was arrested. I think it was Hanover Park. One guy, oh yeah, so this is this guy, Radul Bajovic. Mm-hmm. He was arrested by ICE in late last year. He was in the United States illegally. He was from Montenegro. He entered on a B2 visa. He was supposed to have left in March of 2015. So he had been living illegally in the United States for over a decade, and yet he was still hired by Hanover Park Police Department in January of 2025. He went through the police academy, graduated the police academy in Hanover Park, Illinois, and was hired by the police department in January of 2025, and apparently given a gun. Now, you have to, especially with this, the hiring process, it is law. You found my post. You're supposed to be able, they have to do background checks. They have to conduct background checks. It is law. I mean, that's part of the, especially for government, especially for this. So they did this knowing he had been here illegally for over a decade.
Well, they didn't just hire him. They gave him a gun.
Well, yeah. Of course.
They gave him a gun.
Now, you and I would be in major trouble for that.
Yep.
I mean, for crying out loud, we have to have, like, yours in Illinois to be able to carry a firearm. All the things that you have to go through. is you have to get your FOID card. You have to, which is your firearm owner's identification card, that which is so stupid. You have to have two separate cards to be able to carry. They have all of these eligibility rules. The prohibitions are insane. You have to go through a 16-hour safety and training course. You have to go through ISP, Illinois State Police, all this stuff. There's a ton. I mean, they have an assault weapons ban. They have stupid safe storage, which everybody stores. Safe storage has not increased anything, by the way, in terms of safety. The manufacturing industry, NSSF, has done that more than these laws have. All of that. They have a strict, super strict layered licensing in Illinois. But if you're an illegal alien who's been here illegally for over a decade, you can just go right in and get a gun and get hired as a police officer. So New York, Illinois, California, remember, they're giving out CDLs to people who are here illegally, even though the background check absolutely catches this stuff, which means that people in elected positions and people that are running these government agencies are fully, completely aware that they are hiring people who are here illegally in these positions of authority and in these positions where you're driving giant semis on the highway. They are doing this purposefully. I feel like there should be a really high penalty for that. If you're an elected official doing this, it just really feels like there should be a really strong penalty for just rejecting existing law that you and I have to follow, but they don't. I can't. It's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. So yeah, to the original point, Kathy Hochul, she's talking about this Rafael Rubio guy. He has been here since 2017 illegally, 9 years illegally. He has an assault conviction. He could not even legally work in the United States, and yet he's still hired by the city of New York. So people who they ask, well, did they check his eligibility? The answer is yes, but that's not the correct question that you should be asking. The question is, do they care about his eligibility? And the answer is no. No, they do not. They do not care about his eligibility. You would be, I can't even imagine. In Illinois, if Kane walks around carrying a gun and he doesn't have his FOID card, the penalty's pretty. I can't even remember what you're fined at. I know there's a serious penalty.
Yeah, I think they've probably adjusted those fine amounts, actually. But when I was living in Illinois and I got my FOID card, it was like I couldn't believe the hoops you had to jump through just to be able to purchase. And then they do a mandatory 3-day waiting period, even though the background check system is all online and it can be done immediately. In Texas, we do it.
You know, one of the reasons why if they actually incorporated what they did with employers, and I think personally, if you're asking me, I think the background check, it's a bad system. I am very, very, very two steps above anarchy on this stuff. I think everything is an infringement. It is. But if they wanted to run, if they wanted to have no excuses running it, because it's the instant background check system, one of their excuses for having the waiting period is, well, just in case something else pops up and we, you know, can double check this or that. Democrats have never, ever pushed to incorporate the same kind of strict analysis in their system as is in the employment background verification process. And if they had that same, then their argument would be doubly gone. Sometimes I think that they don't incorporate that in there so that they can make an argument for waiting periods.
I agree with that. And I think that they've left that NICS system flawed intentionally because they absolutely are doing it intentionally. And maybe they should use that system in order to report to the public as to who they're hiring.
Oh, no, they want to hire. They want to hire illegal aliens. It's just crazy. Okay, I got a goofy story for you. A Canadian woman, this is from Not the Bee, she tells the city that she can't mow her grass because it's violent and violates her religion. She's Canadian, so, you know. Apparently, she says mowing grass is violence. And, what, like, to the grass? I don't know, to the grass.
She doesn't say?
By the way, do you know, sidebar, everybody loves the smell of fresh cut grass, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's like apparently the grass, like crying in pain. Did you know that? That's what that smell is?
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hold
Who
on.
Says that?
Google. Let me Google
it. I'm not trying to think like that.
Smell.
Fresh cut grass. Pain. That's like springtime, spring into summer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's actually the plant's chemical cry of pain or distress signal, releasing volatile organic compounds.
Oh, yeah. So when cows eat grass,
it's a distress signal.
Eat grass,
and it also the smell alerts nearby plants to danger so that they can prepare defenses. Interesting. I still think it. I mean, their pain smells amazing to me. I mean, sorry, I don't mean to sound like Gwen Waltz there, but you
when
know,
you're trying
still.
To assign those type of feelings to grass, you lose
it's a
me.
Defense. Every living organism has
yeah,
a defense mechanism.
That,
yeah. Anyway, she's not smart enough to know that. She just thinks it's mean. She spread wildflower seeds all over her yard, and it's grown up wild and all that stuff. And they're trying to tell her to cut her yard, and she's like, "No, it's biodiversity. It's so mean. It's violence." Okay. And she was arguing that it's a butterfly garden. Can't you do it in the back? Can you put your butterfly garden in the backyard? Because other people don't want to have their property values affected because you don't want to mow your grass.
Right.
I mean, that's what it is. Except she says that it's her religion. It's Canada. Let them deal with their crazies. You remember when hippies were, when I was growing up, it felt like hippies were just like completely, for the most part, they just smelled and played hacky sack and had, you know, yeah, that was it. Now, there's really no hippies anymore, are there? And the boomers that were hippies, like half of them were the nice ones that were just real chill. And they just wanted to sit here and tell you about their plants and their birds and just chill in nature. And then the other ones were the ones who were like weather underground. Like, what happened to just the hippies? I don't know.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It, she's a great person as well. I mean, you know, I don't have any many enemies. I love everybody. And that's what the Bible tells us, love our neighbors as we love ourselves. But, you know, I think there's some bad choices. And the word says, for the wrath of God will come upon the children of disobedience. And, you know, I don't blame us. I don't blame Rebecca. I don't blame Renee. I just wish that, you know, if we walk in the spirit of God, I don't think she would have been there.
Wow. That is her former father-in-law. That's not the interview that I think that CNN was wanting to get.
Nope.
And he's not saying anything that ain't true there. Welcome back to the program. Not saying anything that isn't true at all. I just want to hear these protesters explain why they think these violent offenders are the... Because every single person, I mean, literally, including the woman that got nabbed when she was saying she was going to her doctor's office, she also had convictions. There's been, like, some that have been... It's a lot of the women, there's a lot of financial stuff, like bouncing checks, things like that, fraud, things of that nature, that... It's like they, instead of trying to make this like a sob story and fabricate these, you know, heart-wrenching tales that aren't true about these people, talk about they should be discussing how, I mean, every single one of these people have serious crimes. It's not just that they entered illegally, which itself is a crime, but then they kept committing crimes. That's who's being targeted. Those are the people being targeted. And that's always ignored in this. So, I don't know. We're going to see more of this, I'm sure. I will tell you, I am getting the sense that this is not playing out anymore the way that the left wanted it to. I feel like the nation's like, oh, yeah. When they saw the later videos, it really feels like they're like, yeah, this was bad what she did. She shouldn't have done that. That was a really bad decision. I don't think that this is the George Floyd 2.0 moment they were hoping for. Because you haven't seen, I mean, after that, you already had towns burning within 2 days. And so far, you see the same organized set of commies that are trying to target ICE. And that's pretty much it. I think people are tired of it. They're tired of living through it. And who can blame it? Who blames us? Nobody. All right. Today in Stupidity came. What do we got?
Yeah, and to that point, it looks like, and I'm going to play the cut from the president of the Minneapolis City Council here, because like I said earlier in the week, over the weekend, the talking points went out and the idea of ramping up this conversation is because the Dems know they're losing. This is Elliot Payne, the president of the Minneapolis City Council. And Juan, this is cut number 8. This is him turning up the heat and more rhetoric.
Yeah, I'm worried that they'll kill me, because I'm out there and I'm witnessing and I'm documenting, and it seems that they are retaliating against us for asserting our rights.
This is nothing to do with that.
That's absolutely not even remotely. Nothing. No, that's not at all. That is not
federal
at all.
Federal law enforcement operations. Just stop with that.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you find us over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. All kinds of good stuff there. And in the meantime, find us Facebook, the podcast. If you missed anything, check out the podcast for the show. Back with you tomorrow.
You lather, rinse, moisturize, repeat, and repeat. But it never feels like enough. It's not your products. It's your water. Hard water leaves a mineral residue that clogs pores and dries out hair. Culligan water softeners remove damaging minerals, revitalizing brittle hair and dry skin. Upgrade your shower and skincare routine with Culligan. Water you love.
The U.S. captures illegitimate Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro in a truly awesome military operation. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz abandons his bid for a third term as the fraud scandal engulfs him. And officials are caught rewriting the report on last year's L.A. wildfires to make themselves look better. I'm Greg Corumbus, inviting you to join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the 3 Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the top news, some good laughs, and we'll be done in less than 30 minutes. Follow the 3 Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.